Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you. Take your seat for just a moment. Man, it's good to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning. Amen. Praise God. How y'all doing this morning? Amen. Please be in prayer for our youth this week. Like I said last night, we sent off about 45 youth and chaperones. They went to Orlando to our National Fine Arts Youth Convention. So that's where they're at today. They're going to be joining like thousands of other young people. They're going to be ministering through their God-given talents, and they're going to be ministered to themselves. So pray for them this week. Pray for the youth pastors. Pray for our chaperones, all the leaders, and of course, pray for our youth. We'll be flying out there tomorrow to join them and make sure they're representing the Lord well and Pneuma well. Amen. I just have a couple announcements before we get into the word. I was supposed to announce this last week and I didn't get to it. The Lord just, you know, if you were here last week, if you know, you know. But we have a men's retreat coming up September 12th through the 14th. Where are my men at? I got like three of you. Amen. Cool. September 12th through the 14th, we have a men's retreat, man. The last one that we had was amazing. We had guys just, you know, we just had fellowship. We had guys open up, and sometimes you just need to create an environment that is safe for a man to open up. And that's what this is. Amen. And so we had a really good time. We had breakthrough, and we're going to have another one September 12th and 14th. So we want you to be there. Also, I want to announce that on October 5th, it's a Saturday. If you want to come by, if you want to get a flu shot, we're offering flu shots here. We just need you to sign up by August 11th. So if you're the flu type of people, you can come over here and get a holy flu shot. Amen. And then also, this was something we announced last week, but I sent the text and I got it wrong. So starting next week, we're going to be parking a little bit differently. We're going to be closing off the street. We have a permit to close off the street. Y'all know sometimes it's hard in between services to get people out and get people in. And so we're going to have a system where on Samson, which is right here, Samson's over here, that's going to be your entry, and then York is going to be your exit. So enter, exit. Don't come over here trying to get in and giving our parking team who's serving a hard time. Okay, don't give them lip. Don't be like, I ain't coming to this church anymore. Just go around, take 30 seconds, and you come back in. Amen. All right, I'm gonna hear some stories next week. All right, let's go to the word. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10. If you were here for Spanish, I know there's a few of you who stay. We were in the very exact same passage, same story, same message. So if you're here again, you're going to get a double portion. But Luke 10, 38 through 42. If you're there, say, I'm there. Amen. And if you're not there, I've got it up here for you. It says this: Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me here to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Somebody say one thing.
One thing.
Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, my God, for the word that you have brought to your servant, Lord. I pray that as you have spoken it over me, my God, that your spirit would speak it over your people this morning. I pray that we would be open and receptive, Father God, so that your word may edify and bring conviction and bring encouragement, my God, and bring healing, my God, and bring anything that we lack this morning, Father God. This is your time, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way be on my lips, my God, and be on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can take your seat. Amen. Every now and then the Lord has to remind me to be more of a Mary. And that's usually in seasons where life is getting a little bit too, it's going a little bit too fast, and ministry is getting more heavy, and being a pastor and work and responsibilities and, you know, keeping up with relationships, and the calendar is getting fuller. I was feeling that last week. Again, if you were here, you know, it was a struggle just to get a sermon out. And it's in these moments where the Lord is constantly reminding me not to neglect the good portion. And that's the title of the sermon this morning, the good portion, the good portion. I've been here a little bit too often, man. I get into moments where I think many of us do, where we get so caught up with all the things that we've got to do. And if we don't check ourselves quickly, we'll realize that it's been a while since we just sat at the Lord's feet to worship him. If you've been here long enough, you've heard me preach this type of sermon before, man. You've heard me say that what we do for God is not nearly as important as just being with God. You've heard me talk about the importance of rest and how God gave us the Sabbath for that very reason, that we might rest with him and be replenished by him. All of that's true. But this is what the Lord was ministering to me that I want to share with you. Are you listening? God said, we can never stop being disciples. Notice I didn't say we can never stop making disciples. That's a given. That's the Great Commission. We are to go out and make disciples of every nation. That is our job as believers. And I'm very proud to say that the church at large has done really well at making disciples. This church, Pneuma, has done pretty well at making disciples. See or no? I'm just going to talk about the ways that we're making disciples. First of all, we preach the word Sundays. We teach the word Wednesdays. At Bible study, this is where you can come in. I'm just going to use this as a flyer real quick for the church. This is where you can come in and learn the word of God and ask questions about the word of God. There's no question too dumb. This is something that the church is offering to people to come in and learn and grow in the word of God. We have a men's discipleship group. Right now we've got men coming in Monday nights and they're studying the word of God and they're building bonds together. We have many classes throughout the year. We have our young adults ministry and Koinonia diving deep into the word Tuesday nights, keeping young people in the house of God. Praise the Lord. We have a great women's discipleship program that I've heard so many good things about. We've got our Firm Foundations class that is available to newer believers if you just need to get a grasp of basic biblical truths. We have many ministry opportunities for you to come in and plug in and serve and grow. We've got our life groups. I don't know if you're connected to a life group, but we have some amazing life groups around the city. And these are opportunities for you to get some community with other believers and ask questions about practical Christian living. We're a disciple-making church, and God is pleased. But for those of us who are actively, and maybe this message isn't for everybody today, but for those of us who are making disciples, for those of us who are teaching and mentoring and counseling and serving, and we're attending to other believers, and we're concerned with all the church functions and administration, know that the better portion will always be to sit and learn at the feet of Jesus and allow him to fill you. That is what the good portion is. In this passage, the good portion represents the very presence and teaching of Jesus that Mary recognized and was not going to let go to waste. Whenever you're in the house of God and the Holy Spirit is descending upon his people, don't let that moment go to waste. This is what Mary recognized. If I'm Mary, I'm thinking, man, I don't know when I'm going to have another opportunity to hear this Jesus speak. I don't know when I'm going to have another opportunity to let him in my house and just sit at his feet and be in his presence. I don't know when I'm even going to see him again. So she says, this is the place that I need to be, and this is the thing that I need to do. Martha saw it another way. Martha saw that Jesus and his disciples were coming, and she said, oh, we gotta serve. We gotta bring out the best. We gotta bring out the best china and cook the best meals and have all the appetizers and the little deviled eggs that I love so much. And we need to make the proper arrangements and accommodations. And we got to go and get some tablecloths and some centerpieces. And we got to go to the store and get a backdrop so we can take some selfies with Jesus and his disciples. We got to do all of these things. We got to bring excellence. And that's good. Martha had a good heart. She had good intentions. She was a servant. But here's the thing. Jesus then began to minister. The Bible says he began to teach. He opened up his mouth. And you know, when Jesus opens up his mouth, you want to stop and listen for a moment. He started to speak divine truths. He started to see into people's lives and drop some truth bombs on every single person in the room. And they were captivated by the very words that Jesus was speaking. Jesus was working and Martha continued to work. We can't stop being disciples. There's a time to serve. And then there's a time to be served. And as we tell Christians, you know, we tell Christians, go out, make disciples, continue to build the body of Christ, continue to build the kingdom, go out, preach the word, invite people to church. How many times are we tasking people to invite people to church, minister to them, talk to them on the phone, counsel them? We cannot forget to eat ourselves. You know, many commentators agree that the good portion that Jesus was referring to in this passage was the difference between serving and being served. It was the difference between running around working and sitting still and pausing. It was the difference between giving and receiving. That's the good portion. And today the good portion represents much of the same thing. If the Spirit of God were to fall in this place in a very real way, like he often does, and he begins to minister to me, and he begins to give me revelation, he begins to teach me things, and he begins to manifest in me new gifts, and he's just totally just pouring out his Spirit upon me, and I decide to stop being ministered to pray for you, that doesn't make me selfless, that makes me foolish. Because to deny what Jesus has to offer me, because I think that what I have to offer you might be a little bit better, is stupid. See or not? Are you getting this? Y'all quiet today, man. Y'all quiet today. I'm not saying look, let me say this. I'm not saying that a minister needs to leave his post. Okay? If you committed to minister, minister. If you committed to usher today, you should be ushering today. If you're supposed to lead worship, don't leave early. Honor your commitments that you make to the Lord and to the church. Don't show up late. Don't not show up at all. And then say, oh, you know what? I just wanted to sit and serve today because you didn't feel like serving. I feel like every time I give a sermon like this, I got to balance it out. Because both of these things that we're talking about are good things. Serving is not the enemy. It's when serving becomes a distraction in your worship that it becomes dangerous. And so many of us are preoccupied serving that we never stop to be ministered to. We never stop to be served. And can I tell you, I think a little bit of that comes from a little bit of pride. Like, how dare you serve me? I don't want what you have. I got something better. Martha says to Jesus, I like how the NASB says it. It says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Don't you care? Don't you see what she's doing? Look at her. She's always been like this, by the way, since we were kids. I'm always the one picking up after her. She's always just sitting down, watching TV, being cute. I got to be the older sister. You know Martha was the older sister because the oldest ones are more responsible. Amen. Help me out, somebody. Amen. She says, tell her to help me. Tell my sister to help me. I'm sure every pastor, every leader, every minister has had a moment like this with the Lord, where we say, Lord, send the help. I'm the only one planning. I'm the only one being organized. I'm the only one coming to the meetings on time. I'm the only one here to clean up and stack the chairs, because every time they use the chairs, they never put them back. I'm the only one here. If I don't do it, no one else will. How many of you have said that before? I'm the only one who knows how to do it the right way. Come on, I've had some conversations like that with the Lord. I've had those conversations. I've been here on a Monday, Tuesday praying, opening up the church during the week, seeing muckle tissues everywhere. I'm like, Lord, why are there muckle tissues here? Send the laborers. Or at least send the ones that are not lazy enough to take it to the trash. Señor. Sometimes when we're not careful, we can care too much about the wrong things. Please hear me. I'm not saying it's okay to leave your muckle tissues everywhere. Take them to the trash. Hey, put them in your pocket and then take it to the trash. I'm not saying that it's okay to not plan. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be organized. I'm saying that when those things distract us from the one that we're here for in the first place, something is off. We have idolized serving. We have idolized ministry in the place of just being still in the presence of the one who we do ministry for. And God is trying to pour into you so that you have something good to pour into others. So when Martha shows her annoyance for her sister, and she says she never wants to help me, Lord, make her help me, Jesus says, no, Martha, no. He says, I'm not going to take this away from your sister. I'm not going to get after her like you want me to. I'm not going to make her feel bad for not serving, because she chose the better place to be in this moment. You know what else was wrong with Martha? She was a giver, but she wasn't a joyful giver. The word says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. I'll never forget the words of Ava Grace Medina, who got up here one Sunday on a kids takeover. She picked up offering. And you know what she said? She said, if you don't want to give, don't give. And I was there like, no, they should give. We got bills to pay. But she was right. She had it right. If you're not going to give from a cheerful heart, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. I was going to say something, but we got some kids in the room. Never mind. I'll keep it more PG. I'll keep it more PG. When I want to spend some time with my wife, the PG version. And she might not want to. She's tired. I don't want to either anymore. Now I'm tired, yeah. It's not just okay, here, take it. No. Nah. I want some joy. See or no? Come on, man. Come on. Oh, man. Look, that's Martha's issue. That's Martha's issue. Listen, she is serving, but she's serving out of obligation. If she really loved it, she wouldn't be concerned about what other people are doing or not doing. It's giving Cain and Abel vibes. When one brother offered the better offering, the other one got jealous. And now in the presence of Christ, one sister is offering the better offering and the other one is bitter and upset. Worry about bringing God your best offering before criticizing everybody else's worship. Martha thought she had it right. She thought it was better to serve than to be served. In many cases, that's true. But her heart wasn't even right. It wasn't in the right place while she was serving. It is better to be served what Jesus has to offer you so that later you can serve what Jesus gave you. Did that make sense? I don't know. Maybe if she had not complained, maybe if Martha had not complained about Mary not helping her, maybe there would be no issue. Maybe the issue is that Mary's worship was pure and free from obligation, and Martha's was bitter and obligatory, and that's what Jesus corrects. I don't know. There's several ways to interpret this word, but what I do know is that Jesus calls the good portion a woman who is sitting at the feet of Jesus, not worried about anything or anybody else. She's listening and she's receiving, and Martha is running around doing all these things. She's not receiving because she has chosen to not receive, and now she's complaining about it. Still with me? Ministry has taught me some things, man. I've been in ministry a long time. And one thing that ministry has taught me is that what you pour into others will reflect what's in your cup. And so if I'm empty, I've got nothing to give you, right? We've heard that before. You can't pour from an empty cup. Sometimes, though, it's not that we're empty. It's that we're contaminated. And if we're contaminated, guess what? We're pouring contamination into others. If we are stripped of joy in our serving, there's going to be no joy to rub off of me and on to you. And we're just going to create a bunch of disciples who are bitter that they have to disciple others. If you are hurt, if you are bitter, if you're jealous of somebody else, if you're stressed out all the time, if you're angry, that is the cup that you have chosen to pour from. Whew. Don't be giving me your anger. Don't be giving me your pride. Don't be giving me your jealousy. Because what the word says is that teachers, and we can extend it to all ministers, will be judged more harshly. We have a responsibility. Listen, we have a responsibility to pour the gospel into people. And the gospel is pure and perfect and compassionate and bold and it's holy. And so whenever I'm getting to a point where my cup is either empty or filthy, the Lord in His good grace reminds me to slow down, to sit, to learn, and receive. Stop watching what other people are doing or not doing and focus on the Lord. I don't know what's in your cup today. I don't know if you're empty or if you're just full of something that isn't godly. But listen, man, the Lord is here. I want you to understand that statement. The Lord is here. The Spirit of God is here. And so when the worship team invites you to sing, when the worship team invites you to lift up your hands, man. Come to the altars. Fall at the feet of Jesus. Shout a praise of joy from your lips. Don't leave with an empty cup because Jesus is here. I don't understand it. I will never understand it. I will never understand how we can be full, have a full room of the Spirit of God, and some people are not partaking in it. He's here. And you have to understand that. Pour yourself out so that He could pour in something better. And if it looks ugly, and if you got to get the mascara all over down your cheeks, that's okay. Pour yourself out so He can pour something in. The way that the text describes Martha is with the Greek word periaspatato. That's a big one. And it simply means distracted. It means to have one's attention directed from one thing to another. She was distracted. She was a distracted woman. You know what? I bet you Martha wouldn't even use that word to describe herself. I often wonder how the Bible would describe me in certain seasons of my life, because I'd probably be blindsided by it and wouldn't agree with it. I bet you when Martha heard how she was being described, she was like, no, sir. I am not distracted. I'm busy. I just have a lot on my plate. I've got a lot on my mind. I'm just responsible. I've just got a servant's heart. I'm just hospitable. I'm just the only one who knows how to do it the right way. I've got initiative. Matthew says, girl, you distracted. Can I tell you this? Sometimes ministry is our distraction from deeper communion with God. I'm going to say it again because I need you to get it. Ministry can sometimes be our distraction from deeper communion with God. It feels good to pour into others sometimes because that means we never actually get to the stuff that we need. We never get poured into. We never deal with the hard stuff. And so that's why some of y'all, well, I won't say y'all, I'll say we. That's why we often like to tend to other people before getting to ourselves. So by the time it's time to do some heart surgery on this heart, we're like, God, I mean, it's time to go already. I prayed for everybody else. Maybe next time I'll deal with this stuff here at the altars. And so sometimes we're so focused on praying for other people. And this is why I did what I did last week at the altars. I had everybody pray for themselves, because so many times we hide behind the prayers for other people when God is just wanting to have a conversation with you. And we get uncomfortable sometimes being served because we're not used to being served. We're used to serving others. But there's a reason that you're tired. And there's a reason you're irritable and frustrated with people all the time. It's because it's been a while since you have allowed the word to heal you. Listen, everybody needs a Martha. Everybody needs a Martha. Without Martha, things wouldn't get done. Everything would be out of order. No one would step in to do the work that needed to get done. Everything would be last minute. There'd be no systems. It would be chaos. We've got some really good Marthas in this house. We really do. Everyone needs a Martha. Every church needs a Martha. But every Martha needs a Mary inside of her. Now, you might be a Mary and you need a little bit of Martha inside of you. That's another sermon. Jesus does call us to make disciples. He does call us to serve. Jesus said it himself, the work is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need people to serve, but we can't neglect the one that we're doing all of this for. And sometimes our service becomes a distraction. Our desire to do things with the utmost excellence becomes a distraction. And so Jesus calls her out. He says, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. How many of us are anxious and troubled this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. Too many times we come in to this building anxious and troubled about so many things. Let's be real, man. Sometimes I come to church and the last thing on my mind is worship, because the first thing on my mind is ministry. I get here, I got to make sure I get my slides to Brother Lewis up there. I got to make sure I get the worship cue so the worship team knows when to come up. I got to make sure I got the announcements right, because sometimes I miss announcements. I got to make sure I make it to the pre-service meeting. I got to make sure there's no fights going on in the parking lot. I got to do all these things. And then maybe I'll come in here for a worship song or two. So many of us come into the presence of God full of anxiety and full of trouble. And that becomes our distraction to our worship. And so Martha's up and running and she's doing all these things. And Jesus says, you are anxious and troubled about many things, Martha. You know, the way that we think about burnout, we've talked about this before. The way that we think about burnout is in the context of doing too much. I still got your attention? Let me have like 10 more minutes. We think about burnout in that way. doing too much, when you're going and going and going, giving and giving and giving, people eventually burn out. You can't just go forever. And this is true of anything, by the way, not just ministry. People burn out at home. People burn out in their marriage. People burn out being a parent, being an adult, at work, your career. Burnout happens usually after going and going and giving and giving. But listen, I want you to get this, because there's more to that that the Lord revealed to me some time ago. Whenever you choose to give, you are simultaneously choosing not to give, not to receive. I'll say that again because I messed it up. Whenever you choose to give, you are simultaneously choosing not to receive. And so if your spouse is the only one giving and giving and going and going and doing and doing, guess what? They're eventually going to get tired and burn out because they haven't received anything from you. Whenever you're choosing to serve, you're also choosing not to be served. And so what results is a burnt out teacher who stopped learning, a burnt out counselor who stopped receiving counsel, a burnt out worship leader who hasn't just spent time in personal adoration with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Burnout doesn't happen because you're giving too much. It happens because you're receiving way too little. I will only burn out at the gym if I haven't eaten enough to sustain my exertion. And we've got a lot of people doing too much and not enough people receiving enough. You hear what I'm saying? And the reason this is so pressing on my spirit is because, one, it's a great reminder for myself that the Lord is often checking me on. But it's also because I see a disciple-making church. I see people growing. I see the church growing. And it's beautiful. But we can never stop being disciples ourselves in our pursuit of creating them. We have to learn how to sit in the presence of God and listen to His word and receive teaching and grow. Because you won't, if you get to a point where you stop growing, other people can't grow. If I've already preached every sermon, taught you everything that I know, what's the point of me even being here? Let's get somebody else. We can't stop being a disciple. And Jesus is saying this, Martha, man, you're all over the place. You're concerned with too many things, and they're not bad things, but you're missing the most important thing. Notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha from doing all the work. He doesn't say, girl, you need to chill out. You need to relax. He doesn't say that. He says, out of all the things you're doing and anxious about, only one of them is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, we don't hear these types of sermons very often, I know, because we're more concerned with the opposite. We're more concerned with getting people to serve and getting people involved and having everybody carry some weight. It's important for us to, you know, make disciples. But if we miss out on being disciples, we can't keep creating them. And this is true for many pastors and many leaders. It's been said that many preachers only study the Word of God while they're preparing for a sermon. Maybe the only time you pray is when you're asking for God's anointing over a ministry task. Maybe the only time you talk about God is when you're preparing or when you're teaching a class, when you're doing ministry. We can't stop being disciples, church. Very simple word this morning. I don't care if you know the word from Genesis to Revelation. I don't care if you know all the theology. I don't care if you've been blessed with all the wisdom and you're gifted and talented in so many ways and anointed in so many ways. I want you to know that Jesus still wants to teach you some things. And so sit and listen. And stop being distracted with all the things that you've got to get done. If this sermon is for anybody, it's for me, man. I know I know that many of you have chosen the good portion. I see it. Like I said, man, many of you are hungry. Many of you are thirsting for righteousness. You are asking questions. You're surrounding yourself with the right godly company. You're wanting more of God. You're pressing in at the altars. I see it. I see the disciples in this house, and it brings me joy. But to those that are making disciples, don't stop being one. Earlier, I said that I often find myself in these moments where the Holy Spirit, he kind of just has to nudge me a little bit, kind of has to snap me out of it. When I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get everything done, and I got a sermon to prepare, and I'm taking calls, and I'm, you know, there's people that are just in need, and I'm praying with them. And sometimes, like, this happens a lot, where I sit down at the end of the week to finish my sermon, and it's been a tiring week. It's been a beautiful week, because ministry is beautiful and I love it. But I'm there and I'm like, okay, God, what do you have to say? And it's been several times where the Lord has said, I just, can you just get your eyes off the screen for a second? Can you stop worrying about what you have to pour into other people? Can you just have a moment in my presence? And it's such a trusting moment. Because it's like, God, I got to get the sermon done. But more important than that is me receiving from the Holy Spirit. Because I can't pour from an empty cup, and I can't pour from a contaminated one either. So I want to extend this Holy Spirit nudge to you. Have a moment with the Lord. Maybe you're not tired from ministry. Maybe you're just tired from serving too much. Come on, y'all work hard. Some of y'all work too much. Some of y'all have so much on your plate all the time. You get home at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is just be still in his presence. So I was telling Pastor B the other day, man, I wake up behind schedule. It sucks. I mean, but there's weeks like that. The first thing I got to do is reach for my phone to see if I got an email or a text message that I've been expecting. Like, it's crazy, and it's horrible, and it's unhealthy. And the Lord says, "Hey, you need to be replenished, because you're going on empty right now." And I know many of you feel that way as well. You get to church on empty. You get to church about to run out because you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to pour into you every single day, and you're tired. And the last thing you want to do at the end of the day is be in his presence. Jesus is saying today, choose the good portion. Choose to be filled with something that is pure, with something that is replenishing, and with something that is strengthening. Last week we talked about the living water that Jesus is, that live in water that never runs dry. You know what? The only time it runs dry is when we stop drinking it. I don't know who's pouring from an empty cup, and I don't know who's pouring from a filthy cup. But I believe that God wants to pour in you today, right now, in his presence. I want you to stand with me. Prayer team, would you come up and help me? I want to open up these altars for time in the presence of God. If you need prayer, if you need to be poured into you, I want you to come forward. The prayer team is going to pray with you. If you need just a moment in the presence of God, if you need to say, "Lord, just fill me, my God. I just want to be at your feet. I just want to be in your presence right now in this moment." Holy Spirit, have your way right now, my God. Have your way. These altars are open. Come on.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.